Two advisors can each quote you their payout rate, and you still won't know which one takes home more money. You won't know which one could sell their practice either. Today, I want to show you why the loudest number in this industry tells you the least in how to run the wirehouse versus independent comparison that actually settles it. Quick note before we get into it. Advisor Growth Lab is not a broker-dealer, and everything here is for educational purposes only. It's not individualized legal, tax, or investment advice. Every advisor's situation is different, so treat this as a map, not a set of directions. This one's for the wirehouse advisor glancing at the independent side of the fence, and for anyone a recruiter has pitched with one shiny number. By the end, you'll know what payout actually measures, how the grid really behaves, what the bigger independent share has to cover, and the two exit costs that stop more moves than the grid ever does. Diamond Consultants' annual transition report counted more than 11,000 experienced advisors changing firms in 2025, up about 16% from the year before. Start with the word itself, because it gets used loosely. Payout is the split, the share of the revenue you generate that you actually keep. At a wirehouse, you're an employee. The firm keeps a serious slice of what you produce, and in exchange, it carries almost everything. The office, the technology, the compliance department, the brand on the door. On the independent side, that flips. You keep a far larger share of what you produce. And in most structures, you own the business itself. But the share you keep and the money you take home are two different numbers, and the whole trap lives in the distance between them. Payout is a gross figure. It says nothing about what each side pays for and nothing about who owns what. Hold on to that. We'll come back to ownership. Now, the grid. It's a table. Annual production down one side, a payout rate across from each band. Produce more, move up a band, keep a somewhat larger share. Three mechanics matter more than the headline rate. First, the grid is conditional. Firms attach adjustments for things like small households, certain product lines, or missed activity targets. So, your real rate across the whole book often lands below the band you sit in. Second, a meaningful part of your comp isn't paid in the year you earn it. It's deferred, vesting over years, so some of your stated compensation is really a promise that only pays if you stay. Third, grids change. Firms revise them typically once a year, and nobody asks for your signature. That is what "they move the grid on me" describes. None of this makes the grid a trick. It's a coherent deal. The firm carries the fixed costs of your practice and the risk of your down years, and it prices your revenue with rules it controls. Just make sure your math uses your effective rate, what actually got paid and actually vested, not the number on a recruiting flyer. Over on the independent side, the bigger share has a job to do. Rent, technology, staff with payroll taxes and benefits attached, errors and omissions insurance, a compliance arrangement, whether you build it or buy it, and your own health care, the line advisors forget most often because the firm's package was invisible while it was being paid for. All of that comes out of your end. It also matters which independent model you mean, because independence is a family of structures. Affiliate with an independent broker dealer and the firm takes a share of revenue for its platform while you carry your own practice costs. Go pure registered investment advisor, an RIA, and there's no grid at all. The revenue is yours because the firm is yours, and you keep whatever remains after expenses. In between sit supported independence platforms, technology, compliance, and back office for a share of revenue. Each model draws a line between your costs and their costs in a different place, which is exactly why a single payout figure for going independent is meaningless. Notice too that most of that overhead is fixed. Rent, technology, and compliance cost roughly the same in a great year and a rough one. Durable, recurring, fee-based revenue carries that comfortably. Transactional revenue carries the same overhead with less certainty underneath it. Same payout, very different risk, and it cuts both ways. The wirehouse deal is partly insurance, and insurance is worth more to some practices than others. So how do you run the comparison honestly, net against net, on your own numbers over more than 1 year? Take your trailing 12 production, the revenue attributable to you, not your comp. Work out your real wirehouse net from what actually hit your pay and what you can reasonably expect to vest. Then build the independent cost stack line by line, real quotes, not guesses, and subtract it from the larger share. Then price the exit itself, because two costs live outside the grid entirely. Unvested deferred compensation is typically forfeited when you resign. So where you sit in a vesting schedule can matter more than the ongoing split. And if you took a recruiting package to join your current firm, it was almost certainly papered as a forgivable loan. Leave before it fully forgives, and the unforgiven balance generally comes due. These packages are not small. FINRA itself has described recruitment incentives running as much as 2 to 3 times the prior year's commissions and fees. Both of those costs belong in year one of your model, which is why a move usually looks worst in year one and shows its real shape in years 2 through 5. Run the horizon, not the snapshot. Now, for the piece I promised, the axis the percentage never shows. Ownership. As a wirehouse employee, the client relationships you service are, contractually, the firm's. You're paid well to tend them, but you can't sell what you don't own. And when you retire, the handoff typically runs through the firm's succession program on the firm's terms. An independent owner holds the enterprise itself, and an advisory practice is a saleable asset, something a buyer will pay real money for. The same decade of work can produce income in one model, an income plus a business you can sell in the other. I'll say it the way I usually say it. You can be highly paid and own nothing, or paid a bit less in gross and own everything you've built. In fairness, a firm-run sunset program can still pay a retiring advisor a negotiated amount, so own nothing overstates it. But the firm's terms in an open market are not the same retirement. One more point before I wrap up. If someone tells you one of these models wins for everyone, they're selling, not advising. For some advisors, especially with a substantial, durable, fee-based book, the independent net works out meaningfully better, and they own the business on top of it. For others, the absorbed overhead and steadier footing of the employee deal genuinely fits their life. Payout against payout tells you almost nothing. Net against net, over 5 years with the exit priced in, that tells you nearly everything. And when the model reaches note terms or non-solicit language, that's a job for a securities attorney. Most advisors don't have one on call, and that's the point. Get the right specialist in your corner before you act, not after. If you want to see where your own numbers point before you talk to anyone, we built a short assessment for exactly this. 6 questions, free, on our website at advisorgrowthlab.com. It shows you which side of this comparison your practice sits on. Net against net, on your own numbers, Clear eyes first, the move second. I'll see you tomorrow.